Hello, as he said, my name is Romella Kitchens. I've read at Hemingway's many times before and enjoyed it very much. And tonight, what I'd like to do is read a few poems that deal with what I call the bell jar experience. The bell jar was a book by Sylvia Plath. And one time when I was rereading that book, I thought about the experience of the bell jar. And I thought about the idea that living a bell jar life, having that kind of experience, doesn't have to always do with committing suicide or having suicidal tendencies. It may have to do with just having a closed life. So then my thoughts went to African-American women, and that some of them have rather closed existences, that there may be parts of the world that they don't see and things that they don't see, that it's closed off. One time I was downtown, I saw an African-American girl, and she had two children. She was very young. The children were very young. And you could tell that her life had certain parameters, that there wasn't very much that she could see of the outside world. And how do you change your life if you don't see it? And I wanted to extend that, so I thought about some of my older poems, and some of them are in Hip Hop Warrior, which was my first chapbook. And that chapbook was a little bit of a concern for me at one point. And the reason it was a concern for me is because I'm a peaceful person, but people were coming up to me when I wrote the book, and they were telling me that it was too aggressive and that they weren't comfortable with some of the poems and things like that. And I wanted to say very much so that, respectfully, that if you're not comfortable with certain types of poetry, that maybe what you're thinking about when you're thinking about poetry is verse instead of poetry, and that poetry can be risk-taking, and that it can say things, and to let the poet have the chance to say it, because especially me, when I'm writing a poem, it is to make it so that people can see how my experience of life is and share that experience. It's not to aggress, it's to share. If I do get aggressive, it's because I feel that sometimes aggression is a part of a human being and very vital. A vital spirit. This poem is called Casino Way. It's about a street in Homewood, and it's a street that I lived on as a child, and it's an experience that happened. Black and upwardly mobile, we lived in a black enclave then. Teachers and other professionals, all in a quiet alleyway, until the day your wife shot you. You, this handsome, light-skinned black man with pomaded hair and a pencil-thin mustache, black matinee idol, scholarly schoolteacher with fine suits and dreams for more. You, tired of her, had found another black woman, light, with blonde hair, a woman who spoke good English and wore lovely clothing. You wanted her, your ill-spoken wife who wore her hair nappy and loved you just for bringing a carton of cigarettes home out. We, your neighbors, heard you argue, saw her weep, go in and get the shotgun and shoot you as you ran from your yard. Black matinee idol, so prim, so proper, your body slumped on our front door step, its lean weight against our screen. My mother, a nurse, checked your pulse from a crouched position behind you, pushing your deadness slightly forward. I was a child then, but I remember your blood, the police, her wails of shock at her own actions, the yellow gloves my mother put on her well-manicured hands to place bleach in water and wash the telltale signs of your suffering away. I remember us packing up and moving to a bigger home, moving away from the hard stone steps, from the entryway to peaceless existence, away from the cobblestoned alleyway to your death. So our bell jar existence was cracked, but then sometimes that bell jar needs to be cracked and things need to come in from different places. But sometimes in the bell jar there's peace, and this one is called the white chipped basin. Father, it is Sunday morning and you are home from work. The bathroom door is open. The floor tile's perfect. Sunlight comes in to sit peacefully like golden-streaked women, cross-legged, contented on the floor. You are washing mother's hair at tubside, her on her knees atop a pillow. You always loved her hair, her soft, almost Creole black woman's hair. She is laughing and talking to you about the children you both share. There is rest now, non-repentant quiet. God watches you pour gently warm water over each soft strand and smiles. Sometimes writing works in reverse for me. And when I was rereading Sylvia Plath, I saw that that was working reverse. And there are a couple more poems that I want to read if I can manage the microphone and the book. This one is called Half or Whole. I had not thought of myself as poor, but I had not thought of myself as having money. I had worked very hard, but sometimes, even though I was a woman, I had dreamed of simply walking off somewhere, simply dropping everything and leaving. I guess it was because there always has seemed to be something larger out there, something I hadn't seen that I needed to see, something not made of stone, responsibility, and sorrow. I guess I had anger not with what I had, but what I didn't have. The next poem is called Ubiquitous, and it is a bell jar poem, but it's a different type of bell jar poem. The hall is black liquid. Dying swallows are heard in its eaves. Curl, serpentine, lick, savor, skin salt, move along, belly to the floor, pensive, sexual sorrow, then release, fuck, again, screw, mindless for 5 days, solid repetition as addiction, slither, suffer, recoil, pain, idiot bond, senseless heart, suffer, move on, predate, strike, new union, weep inside, the black liquid hall quivers, screw, ache, sex like a crack pipe, flash of flame, burning skin, desire, hit it, on the floor of passion, with no food, no spiritual fluff, die, in the black liquid. Drop babies from the screaming womb into the warland underbrush. Twist in the pain, move on, caring, divorce it in the prey and you. Murder it in the prey and you, maybe both. Caring dies anyway, all by itself. Procure new flesh, retreat from the old. Set climatic goals, 50, 60, 100, stay all day, screw. Then slither away on your belly, dragging pleasure, bleeding behind you. Retreat momentarily, satiated, the black liquid of life, warm, comforting. This poem, Kayla published, and it was published in Chapter and Verse online, and it was nice to have it published. I have a problem with a world that says no to everyone all the time. I have a problem with no is the concept of life and not having loving and sharing as well. And so this poem is called Yes, Yes, Yes. I was in the garden of the world in the middle of the matrix of all things bright and essential, a brilliant and kind whale body of sorts, and yes, healed me, caressed me, yes, opened up like a portfolio of brilliant art, like handsome lightning, laughing dagas, shopping bags of blessings and adulations, like lessened damnations and hells that cannot hold on to you. It gathered fish, consoled my enemies quietly as they lay supinely on couches of toxic screwing with other people. Yes, it sang like wise old men. It rode spiritual bicycles down roads without misdirection. It meditated. It swaddled chosen child babies. It let no coldness control it. Yes, flowed like rivers, it settled like unconditional leaves. It painted itself so truly golden because it made love due to love. And I was plentiful, plentiful, and with outstretched hands into existence, beautiful rust and glitter as well. Yes, 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 to the abstract and the concrete, to poems and God writes in the heavens and calls them a sky. I believe at the edges of existence, there is yes, not the no of mankind. And the sour side of man, confound him, will have to deal with that. Yes. I have one more poem. It's an older poem, but I kind of like it. And it's called Coming Home from Martin's Ferry. And it's for the memory of a poet, and that poet's name is James Wright, and if you've never read his work is very good work to read as you write poetry and love poetry. There is a segregation in the need to understand, as there is in many other things. That which comes in its correct time dies in its correct time, but we cannot help holding on. The Confederate flags bloomed as we drove from Pennsylvania and crossed into West Virginia, then ricocheted back into Ohio. Old blood and torture still smells the same. And if we follow a poet's history home, we see shells of his old homes, of people who hurt him and now say they were his friends. We find Confederate flags, yet soft evenings, spectacular in no way at all, and soft hypocrisies. But what we look for is that breaking open of the human soul that knows not black or white in the field of humanity, that moment of the mayor that does not belong to us, coming up to us out of love, hunger, compassion, the grace of its spiritual mouth in our quivering palm. Come to me this way, existence, because I have wasted time on the whole contemplating love and waiting for people on the whole to be more humane when human kindness is on an individual selective level. I hold tight above my right breast, wanting more. Such a need, it causes a weeping heart, black ant sorrow near your plaque, and the stray black cat in an alleyway takes merciful pieces of fish from the cook at the Veterans Legion Hall when the Sunday fish fry is completed. Yes, I have wasted time passionately, full throttle, hopeful someone knew you deeper than their tall tales. The green grass of ligatures made beautiful, tinged in the southern sunlight. They said you wandered for a while with little. They said you wandered for a while with little money, only their mercy securing you. Then you somehow found yourself again. James, there are poems in place waiting for your return. There always, perhaps, will be. Thank you.